Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's go. And beautiful morning.
It's lovely.
Can't do too much today because I've got a race tomorrow and you're coming off a race at the
exactly.
weekend.
Exactly.
Right?
What's your race tomorrow?
It's the Highgate Open 5K Classic.
Well, that's near here, so why don't we just go and get started?
Which I'll be...
going first.
I'll be endeavouring... not to come last.
Yep.
That'll be the big.
They're quite fierce.
That will
they?
Be the big struggle. Well, I'm in the slowest race.
Yeah.
And looking around, there's some people in the slowest race at least a minute faster than me. So
yeah.
I'll be near the bottom of the field.
What did you say? 5K.
5K. If I can beat 20 minutes, I'll be pleased. Cause I haven't done any speed work or anything. But you know, we'll do our best.
Have
on
you
the track.
Done anything training wise for it this week?
I went out. I've been running a fair bit. I did 7 miles. On Saturday, but I did some...
Stop a second. Carry on.
Go on then, you okay? But I did some speed work during that. I did 10 two-minute bursts with a minute in between and then some sprints at the end. So by the end, that was quite hard work.
Yes.
So I've done one speed session and then just loads of 5-6 mile runs.
Yeah, good.
And I haven't drank for 2 days.
I was really, really warming up to be impressed then.
Yeah.
48 hours? No!
The ultimate sacrifice.
That thing about doing intervals.
Yeah.
I had a good moment coming up here. I ran up here today.
Yeah.
I did 2.5 miles from my house, but that's the first, you know, I did a half on Sunday, two days ago. So two drink-free days ago for you.
Right, yeah.
Anyway, so, you know, I wasn't going hard coming up here.
Yeah.
Lots of aches and pains, just kind of plodding along. And I saw this guy on the other side of the road. He was going really fast.
Really,
it's like when a sports car overtakes you.
Right, yeah.
But then, of course, the satisfying thing is he stopped.
Yeah.
Then he walked.
Right.
Looked at his watch quite a lot. Walked for a while. I overtook him.
Yeah.
And then he came past me
again.
Really fast. And that kept carrying on. Actually, no, I didn't overtake him that time. I just kind of caught him up.
Right.
And eventually, after obviously going the same way, and about a mile later, I overtook him.
Right.
And I really enjoyed that. The basic principle of it, the hare tortoise scenario.
Yeah.
I basically felt like the baddie in a horror story.
Yeah.
You know, the zombie or the mummy that doesn't have any pace, and yet somehow it gets you
down.
In the end.
Yeah, Tuesday's one of those days where people who are going to do quality sessions tend to on a Tuesday and Thursday.
Yeah.
So you'll find a fair bit of that. So tell us about Sunday.
Well, it was great. It was. I went up to, I don't know if I told you already, but the stand really came through because I only decided I was going to go ahead with a great North Run.
Right.
Despite it basically being the day before my dad's funeral was, you know, I thought I'd do that.
Yeah.
But I hadn't planned to stay anywhere or do anything. And I got in touch with the comedy club.
Right.
And said, can I come up and do a short spot and can you sort me out the comedy club hotel room?
Right.
And they said, yes.
That's very kind of them.
So I started with a non-guitar 10 minutes. And it felt very cheeky of me, but I thought, as long as I'm funny, you know, as long as I get laughs.
Yeah.
You know. And,
it's a great club, isn't it?
And it's great. And the other thing is, I realised when I got there, I've got a bit about the Great North Run. And of course, that's a reminder of how excellent the Great North Run is, and pretty much unique, I think. I mean, there's lots of comparisons between the Great North Run and the London Marathon. You know,
right.
It's tens of thousands of people. The support is just incredible. Obviously, it's a half marathon, not a marathon, but the very fact that that doesn't matter that much is kind of part of what I'm talking about.
It's probably the second biggest mass event, isn't it, in the UK?
Absolutely. Yeah. And actually, in terms of participants, it's bigger than London Marathon.
Well, there we go.
And the other thing about it's more local, you know.
Yeah.
You couldn't go on stage at the Comedy Store. And don't get me wrong, you know, we love London. The London Marathon. Sorry, calling London Marathon London. But you couldn't go on stage at the Comedy Store and say, who here has done the London Marathon? You know, even if people had, they'd keep their heads down.
Yes, yeah.
Or if
you
go on stage at the Stand Newcastle,
so
say, anyone ever done the Great North Run?
Really?
You know, and a dozen people say, yeah, I have.
Yeah.
And a dozen people from all walks of life.
Yeah.
Absolutely, naturally spans that thing. Everything from charity runners who are going to walk all or most of it to really the kind of people you'll be racing with tomorrow, you know, fierce committed club runners with incredible pace.
It's known as the fast course for club runners as well.
Yeah, I can't see that. There's a dialogue about the... Apparently it's not considered particularly hilly, and it's certainly not considered uphill on the way out, but
right.
It feels pretty uphill
to me.
Like
it, yeah.
They put all the descent into the one at the beginning,
right,
which is great because sets you off at a pace. And the one at the end, which just basically gets rid of the amount of gradient that you, from the river to, you cross the river about a mile and a half.
Right.
And from there till 7 miles, it's just incline after incline.
Really? Right.
And none of them are brutal, but they're proper.
Yes.
You know, they're not nothing. You can see them.
Right.
And it's all,
yeah.
You know, it's just basically by the time you get to halfway,
You've
worn yourself out on the climbs.
Yes, yeah.
If you're trying to maintain any kind of pace, which I knew from before, so I enjoyed that. I remembered it. So anyway, it was lovely to do the gig and be reminded of that. And then I went out. I was disappointed not to see Sophie Raworth or Susie Chan.
Right.
Susie Chan was doing the Nevis Marathon, I think.
Right.
I don't know where Sophie Raworth was. But I bumped into Martin Yelling. On
Brilliant.
The start line, yeah, good.
So he was running it, was he?
Yes, with another friend, I can't remember her name, but they were running it at a specific pace and I think doing a kind of video diary type thing.
Cool.
So that was nice.
Good form. Yeah, he's always on good form, isn't he?
Yeah. Good company.
Yeah.
Good to catch up. And of course, it's a while. I was saying how our episode with him was considered a classic by some listeners.
Absolutely, yeah,
certainly
was.
A classic run in our
it
memories.
Was. Yeah, absolutely.
And we need to get out there with him again.
Well, it's so convenient. It's so convenient, the 4-hour drive, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
it's good to get down
just
there.
Just nip it in, yeah.
Just nip down there for 4 hours and then run six, which turns out to be 12 miles.
Yeah.
Climb a rock in the middle.
No, it was beautiful.
It was great.
What a nice man. Yeah.
So
you stayed at a decent,
gorgeous day.
Decent hotel. Was it all right? Was it near the start? Was it?
Well,
was
it? I had very kindly the great run gave me a celebrity place.
Nice.
And I had a celebrity bus place back from the finish to the.
Oh, thank you very much.
That's always very.
Yeah.
I mean, South Shields is just. It's very hard to get home from. So thank goodness for that.
Yeah.
But I didn't have a bus out.
Right.
So I was staying in town. Stayed in the hotel next to the club. And then walked up to the start and just climbed over a fence.
Right.
And got onto the course.
And good for you.
Dumped my bag there. Yeah. So I think this is wrong, but it's kind of right. And then I was pretty grumpy. I was just sad from being on my own.
Yes.
And a sad time.
Of course.
And also, if I'm honest, there was a lot of people being interviewed and things and just kind of milling around. The VIPs and celeb runners all mill around on the first few hundred yards of the course just until they get ushered into the starting pen. And it's all very jolly. And this bloke kept moving me on.
Right.
He kept going, can you go and start get into the pen? It's like about an hour before the start.
Yeah.
It's like, and it was so patently obvious that he was saying that to me.
Right.
Because I wasn't anyone.
Yes. Yeah.
And I was like, do you have to rub it in, mate?
Yeah. So there's a lot of going on. You're on your own.
Yeah. And I get
You've got your personal stuff. Yeah.
And every time I chance a celebrity place, I know I'm chancing it.
Yeah, yeah. Same.
Equally,
yeah.
It wasn't like Elvis Presley was running it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So. Yeah. Anyway, so that was fun. That was kind of, as has often been the case the last couple of weeks, and I needed someone to have a go at. So
yeah.
He was perfect.
Yeah.
So I'm just leaning on the barrier, send a text, mate.
Yeah.
So did it? No, send them to tell them to go over there.
Did it possibly steal your resolve for the run, maybe, or was it?
Yeah, it was too early. Ages. But then, I had a little. What set me off? Something set me off on the start line. I did have a little. I was funny about the whole grieving process, because it's true. It definitely meant more, you know, being a kind of this is for you, Dad, run. But equally, I'm not that emotionally literate, you know.
Yeah.
So I can tell you now. So I was doing the Great North Run and I was crying. I cried twice.
Did you really?
But both times I went, oh, I'm crying, gosh. And then that is how long I cried for. You know, I note it, managed to stop it.
Well, it's good that it
stop
happened.
Stop myself.
And also it would be even harder to run when you're crying as well, isn't it? It's sort of, there's a sort of physical, maybe defence of that as well, isn't it? In terms of
both
experiences happening at once. Maybe.
Maybe in terms of what we seek from life. Those things, that's less coincidental than you'd think.
Yeah.
But it was, funny enough, I can't think what set me off, but it was genuinely, what can I say, a pleasant surprise how in touch I was with my sadness, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I think even if I'd done it a week before, I'd have just forgotten all about that deliberately because it's too real.
Yes.
But as a result, as the time had passed and everyone's generosity and all the preparations for the funeral, you know, I found that I was able to look straight down the lens of that sadness, and you should let that happen and have a cry.
Absolutely.
But as in my case, when I say have a cry that lasts half a second and then go, and go back to benching with Martin yelling. And then,
goodness.
So the run, I go on about it. So I do think it's, it does feel pretty uphill. I don't think it's an easy one.
Yeah.
I had it in my head. Kev was chasing me for my gold, silver, bronze. I was like, I don't know, I don't care.
Yeah, totally.
But obviously, you do think about that stuff. And I think that...
I can't even remember whether we discussed that, actually, before.
I don't think we did.
Right.
But here's roughly where I was at going into it. One, last time I did it, I had a broken toe.
Yeah.
And really surprised myself with, I think it was like 140 bang on.
Right.
And in retrospect, it should be noted that I was very competitive with that broken toe.
Yeah.
But I think by the end of that year, I realised that my broken toe was surprisingly irrelevant to my foot fitness.
Right.
So I think I ran that marathon, half marathon, at kind of normal speed.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to know what my other Great North Run time was. I'll have to look it up. But anyway, that was the one I really didn't want to be slower than.
Yeah.
And then there was, at the other end of things, there was my Manchester time from earlier this year, which was, 1:33?
Right.
And I just thought, I don't quite know how I did that.
Right.
And I'm not as fit as I was then. So, realistically, I expected to be between those two.
Yeah.
And I was targeting 1:35.
Right. She's pretty swift, isn't
she? That's a proper, you know, that's it. That would be competitive with all my hearts ever.
Yeah.
So I was looking at back at my half marathon PB and just thinking, I can't believe I was that fast.
Yeah.
I don't know how it happened. I think it was a mistake. Anyway, it wasn't
just the nature of distant PBs.
That's right. How did that happen? Because you do, you know, good and bad ones, you do... You do push them into your... You have selective memory about them, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, yeah.
Like, I think I realised that. You know, we had this conversation on the Q&A about mojo.
Yeah.
I think sometimes when people feel like they've lost their mojo, I think they've just forgotten how hard running was before
the
then.
Purpose, yes.
But I used to love this. I said, no, you didn't.
Yeah.
You were fighting it all the way.
It can be hard, yes.
Yeah. But, so that was my kind of rough window of... potential achievement, and set off down a hill, looking at those splits you wanted to look at.
7:30.
Well, the down the hill was more like 6:20.
Was it really?
It's like, what? I didn't even feel like I was going fast, you know?
You can't start off at 6:20.
I know. I don't know. I don't know.
That's lunacy.
I don't know what was going on. I don't know. Again, it doesn't feel accurate. I didn't feel like I was
going fast. Well have been accurate. You naturally start off a bit faster than if it's all downhill. I mean, that's sort of 81 minute pace, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy talk. So I set off downhill like that.
Yeah. What a creature.
And then, yeah, you hit the river and start climbing. Mm-mm. And climb. Really noticing it. There's a sign on the bridge there at about 3 miles. And it says, you've done the training, find your pace.
Right.
And keep going.
Yeah.
That's absolutely great.
That is a nice thing, isn't it? Yeah.
A stranger after saying she was talking to...
It's all right. It's okay.
Michael Carrick.
All right.
The footballer. Oh, Carrick, yeah. About that bridge.
He's a Geordie legend.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know who he was. I was talking to him. And I turned around and I went, yes! I totally agree!
Yeah.
And then someone came and got a selfie. I was like, oh! Yeah, we're someone famous! Yeah. Goodbye!
No, it's great.
But that bridge was inspiring.
Yeah.
Anyway, do you remember our conversation about what you said about not worrying too much about the last mile?
Right.
And what I said about running a 10K.
Yeah.
And kind of basically slamming out a park run.
Yeah.
Then making sure you survive the next 2-3K.
Right.
And then the last 2K should be all right. You know what I mean?
Yes, yeah.
I kind of modelled it like that, really.
Right.
I tried to keep my pace, tried to get up this hill whilst maintaining pace. And all the time I was thinking, when I get to 10 miles,
right.
South Shields Way,
yeah.
I will try. And I was also remembering the Grand Prix, the 5 times around the circuit half. And I thought, I'm really going to try and put on a turn of speed.
Put the pedal to
the pedal down, do some overtaking around the 10-mile mark.
Yeah.
And... And then that didn't really happen.
It's funny because a lot of people have a similar idea, don't they? I've often thought I'm going to speed up near the end and overtake everyone. It seems like everyone else is trying to do the same thing.
Yeah. And also, I suppose it's testament to what the power you are exhibiting. You know, I think really, looking back from here, I think I was pretty harsh on myself.
Yeah.
I mean, I did a lot about that Grand Prix circuit one. And in my memory, I ran that really well. And this is like, oh, I've let my training slip. I'm not as fast as I was. But, you know, it's all on the graph.
Yeah.
Because that was actually significantly slower than Sunday.
Right.
But that memory, I didn't include that information in my memory.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what happened was I was aware that these hills had taken it out of me a bit. Really enjoying it. You know, it's great. It's just like London. It's just support all the way.
Brilliant.
The weather was nice. It wasn't too hot. It would have been one of those ones if you were going slow. If you were doing it in 2.5 hours, then it would be getting pretty uncomfortably hot.
Right.
Over time, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it starts quite late as well, which is nice. It was a 10:40 start.
Yeah. Civilised.
So, I was closing in on 10 miles, looking to change up. And I'd watched the 1:35 pacer disappear over the horizon.
Right.
And then another, I don't know how this works or whatever, but maybe that was the 1:33 pacer, because just before the 10-mile mark, a guy came past me and turned out he was the 1:35 pacer.
Right.
And as he came past, he said, love the podcast.
Oh, that's nice.
I was like, well, now I've got seriously mixed feelings.
Right.
Damn it. I mean, thank you. It's so wonderful. Damn it. So,
it is a very peculiar sensation when you get swamped by the pacer and the surrounding entourage.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a sense of they've made better calculations or something.
Yeah,
you know,
it just comes past you. Well, I tried to sit in with them because I could see the 10-mile thing. And I thought, oh, and also past the 10K thing at 46. That's interesting, because there's a 43 10K, so going a bit slower than that, and
trying to work out
what the maths was and stuff like that. That was quite useful. Anyway, so I tried to put on a little turn of speed and stay with the 1:35 pacer, and it didn't really happen, but it wasn't nothing. Do you know what I mean? I managed to make some kind of gear change.
Yeah.
Closest equivalent was the tiny bit of speed I put on at the imaginary park run the week before.
Right.
But still, yeah, off they all went, my speedy compatriots. But then you're into the final miles.
Yeah.
And it does, it palms up, you know, you're back in town. There's,
yeah.
There's an Elvis. And then it all happened at once. I got past 11 miles. I was just getting into the roundabout. It's just before the hill. And you see the sea. And then simultaneously, I must have just slowed down a bit and got a bit distracted. I started thinking quite properly about my dad and about what I was going to say at the funeral and stuff. And I started to cry again, just a tiny bit.
Yeah.
And in that instant, I saw the sea, I realised we were near the end, and the 140 pacer appeared at my left shoulder.
Right.
I was like, I'll solve this! So I went, and funnily enough, I believe I went in exactly the same place, in exactly the same way when Rayworth and Chan called me up last time we were
right.
there. So I really put my foot down, went into stop crying, pulled stuff together, went down the steep hill, and I'm aware of the way it works now, because you go down there and you think, oh great, I'm on for the finish, but it's a mile away.
Yeah.
Slightly uphill.
Right.
But I really just held speed as best I could, got my chest up and out.
Good for you.
And listened to some superb music.
Right.
And
what a roller coaster.
It came right in. It was and then so that was the 140 pace on my shoulder.
Yeah.
And I did it in just over 139, 139.06.
Right, nice.
So what that strange moment at the end it bought me is 1 minute basically.
Yes.
But I bought it all in the last mile, so that's not bad.
That's great. You did really well. What an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
What an experience. And also when you're running long races, you do find yourself working through emotional stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You do find yourself thinking what I want to say to people when I next see them.
Do you know what I mean?
Something about it.
It's all that left brain stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I did. I mean, I talk about not wanting to think about the sadness of the summer, but when I was in the Lake District, you know, pointedly a week and a half before,
yeah,
and in my non-running hours, I really wasn't thinking about it. I was burying myself in everything else.
Right.
But when I ran, I found myself basically writing the speech for the funeral, and that was the only time I thought about it at all. But when I was running, it coalesces, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah.
That's what running's for. I mean, that's why.
That's a huge part of it, isn't it? That's a sort of appointment with yourself, with your own therapist.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, great run. What an experience. And how are you feeling today? It must have been tough yesterday as well, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to have done more stretching and exercising.
Yeah.
But, yeah, yesterday was tough.
Yeah.
But it was great, actually. Yeah. It wasn't as bad as it was going to be, and it was very positive. And then I've just got that quite satisfying ache, which I get after long events, where the backs of my thighs hurt in a very even and non-worrying way.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? They just feel like I've done something with them.
Well, you've done.
Because I have.
You have, yeah.
And my knees are more troublesome. They're more kind of twangy and neural and gradually destroying those bad boys. But the backs of my thighs, that's definitely what we would call a smug ache.
Yeah.
And it was quite odd. I mean, that was pretty much the long version I just gave you. But put simply, my fitness is at a very weird moment, because over the summer I've kept my mileage but I've lost a bit of pace.
Yeah.
So I simultaneously got to the end thinking, oh, it's hard. And then I finished and I was like, oh, have you done already?
That's it, yeah.
So with all the difficulty was focused on pace.
You've done a lot of miles, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I did. It's unusual to, like Natalie Haynes, basically to run more than half in training for a half. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So now I'm just 6 weeks out from the Yorkshire Marathon, and I'm genuinely looking at how to reclaim that pace.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think
you've got a few park runs hopefully between, haven't you?
Hopefully, yeah.
Which should be good.
I'm hoping this Saturday, which will be what the
would be
14th.
Yes.
To make it to Crosby Park Run.
All right.
The one I didn't quite make it for the other time. north of Liverpool.
I've taken it doing it the other way around, mate. Ooh. It's like I've thought, every time we go into the park and turn left, why not just turn right for a change?
Okay. For a change.
I can see you're mistrustful of the idea.
It's funny that you invoke the northeastern accent, because that's what I think this. Rather than running from the shiny city of Newcastle up to the lonely fields of South Shields, you could reverse that, couldn't you?
Why not run the other way, like?
Yeah. That'd be my tip.
But an event that you return to nonetheless.
Oh, it's great.
You enjoy, yeah.
Oh, it's unmissable.
Yeah.
Excuse me, sniffing, dear listener. So, we're in Highgate Wood now, very nice. I thought this would be more dramatically autumnal after our superb summer one. But then it was only a fortnight ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's
still green leaves.
It maintains its position as a source of awe and wonder, doesn't it?
It does.
Really very lucky.
Did you fall over on one of your runs in recent days?
Well, yeah, I fell over yesterday, actually.
Oh.
I was... The difference between... Today and yesterday, it's huge. Yesterday, I was running at this pace. We're running slowly.
Yep.
But I was really tired. I'd had a really bad night's sleep. I drank. I'd had one of those. The kids had been to Hackney Carnival. George returned with his mates at 1 a.m. on a Sunday.
Yeah.
With his mates for afters. I stormed down and said, either be quiet or... Swear word off. I was really robust with them.
Yeah, just quiet down, kids, or head off home, please.
Yes, head off home at the earliest opportunity.
Yeah.
And they quieted down for a bit, but at 2 I had to just turn them off. I just had to turn it all off.
Yeah.
And then they ended up just in the street for an hour.
Ugh.
I nearly called the police myself. Thankfully, George is going. He's gone. He's set off back to university today.
I think you should have called the police.
Honestly, great. I was spitting with rage.
No, it's good that you got him in the street, because then that meant it was as irritating for all the other people living your road.
They're just unable to. Anyway, the next morning, I said to George, "I'm sorry for your mates thought I was a bit of a psychopath last night." And he went, "Oh no, they liked it. They thought it was really real." so, just great. Really honest, because most parents are a bit like polite, but you just really were really honest, and yeah. You know. So you never know, do you?
No, it's great.
Yeah, that was a really real moment of pure rage.
It's a real
21st
century skill your sons have of being able to put your rage at arm's length. Yeah. But all you need is anger management. Yeah. I see you being angry there again.
I'm observing
this. That's really
this.
Real.
I'm really enjoying
it's
this
like
real rage.
It's like watching a television program.
Yeah. So he's gone back to Manchester now. And I'll really miss him every time he comes, and I'm glad to see him again. Every time he goes, I'll really miss him. And Bonnie's going in a couple of weeks to Bristol.
But on the other hand, him making me really livid on Sunday night tempers that nicely.
Yes, yeah. But, yeah, we went for a few runs in the summer with him, and, yeah, it's going to be a new chapter.
Yeah. Absolutely. And where's Bonnie going?
Bonnie's going in a couple of weeks to Bristol.
That's right.
So, and with Rudy going every day to the Brit School.
Still having a good time?
Still enjoying it, still turning up.
Yeah.
Still getting up at 7:15 in the morning.
Very good.
Which amounts to a revolution.
Yep.
And, yeah, it just feels like a lot of change going on.
Yeah.
Your kids back at school yet?
Yeah, they didn't go back till last Friday, and then their second day at school they had to miss. But they had to miss, they had a blooming good excuse.
Right.
Because we all performed. There was music at the funeral yesterday. It was a green ceremony in a memorial field.
Right.
And it was really nice. We went out there and it was cold and grey, but you know,
yeah.
That's a pathetic fallacy.
Yeah.
Well, not fallacious in this instance. And it didn't rain. It looked like it was going to... We just had a few speeches, all of which were peppered with proper laughs.
Right.
And a few songs.
Yeah.
And it was all very upbeat.
Was there anyone sort of holding the ceremony as such? Was
yeah, there was a celebrant.
Right.
But he didn't have much to do. He was really good. He really read the room and felt the thing.
Yeah.
And he did a little kind of secular prayer, if you will, at the end. Really, but really short. And
yeah.
Me and my brother said a few words. A guy who my dad had known since he was a kid, said a few words, and a guy that he used to work with said a few words, and my mum said a few words and read a poem.
Yeah.
My kids played a tune and sang a song, and me and my brother sang songs, and then got the bouncy castle out.
Right.
Okay. We all got on there. Okay. No, that's the last bit. Yeah. But it's quite good, I think, that it's it was kind of a... It sounds quite hippie-ish, doesn't it?
It was in all the best ways, because we weren't...
It was very non-superficial hippie.
Yeah.
Not that that's bad, but, you know, there were no... It wasn't Stevie Nicks. We just chose
felt sincere.
Quite natural things, and it felt entirely appropriate.
Yeah.
And, so that was good. And I was really dreading it, so...
I bet you were, yeah.
So we hired a car to get up there.
Yeah.
Went up there, had a lovely... The wake thing was really good as well. Lots of chatting with old family, friends, and old photos and things.
Yes.
But one of the best things about it is the pure weight of good, funny stories about my dad.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that's...
It's nice to be remembered.
That's all right. That's the way to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like old school memoir, isn't it? Like a David Niven autobiography.
Yes.
Just funny stories, basically.
Just celebrate. Yeah.
And if you, particularly if it suits the personality of the person in question, then why not? Well, there was also just a lot of talk about how much people used to drink and drive in the old days.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
One of my dad's oldest friends saying, yeah, the driver would limit themselves to 6 to 8 pints.
I know.
Oh, look at this. I'm getting a photo. Sorry to stop. I know I normally get it on the way, but I'm going to miss it if I don't get it now.
Times have changed in that regard, haven't they?
Look, run through that. I'm going to get you running.
Oh, okay.
Oh, here it goes. Look at that. Oh, I forgot you were in that ridiculous top.
It blends with the autumnal colours.
So, yeah. And then took the hire car back this morning, and there was a big ding in one of the tyres.
Yeah.
That I knew nothing about, which lost me my deposit.
Oh, nice.
And I think it lost you less money than it would have done, because when the bloke showed it to me, I went, oh, it's all I need! You want this fuel? Like that, so... Yeah, don't think he's going to charge you the £1,000 excess.
This is near the... This is near the fall yesterday.
Oh.
Just one of these.
Don't go again.
Just little roots. I went right open, was back up very quickly. But it did. There's a bit of a bump on my over there.
Yeah.
I can hold it out.
And I saw photos of injuries here.
Yeah.
Because I noted this
injury,
one on your knee.
Injury montage, but there.
Did you go down again, or did you nearly go down again? Because it's so easy to fall over straight after you've fallen over, isn't it?
I went. I was wearing tracksuit trousers, so it was, and a long sleeve top. It wasn't that bad. But yeah, I think it was that route there. You just does these little... You can't really catch hold of them.
Maybe next time, maybe we should have gone a different route.
Yeah. Maybe this is a problem of going this way around.
Yeah.
But it's still shocking when you really fall over, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It still feels stupid and painful at the same time.
It shakes you right up.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It affects the rest of the run, doesn't it, if you have a really solid clump.
Yeah. I'm actually playing all my falls in slow motion in my head.
Yeah.
Because there was one recently, wasn't there? I really took it. Oh, that's right, on the cobbles. But the classic is the one I told you about here, the slow motion in Wales.
Yeah.
Where I basically just kind of stepped onto my hands and knees and then rolled over in the poo. All the while going so slowly that any witness would have thought I must
Why
be
doing
it deliberately.
It's kind of prank fall there.
And like so many country runs, that fantastic gear change from feeling like you're in some kind of advert montage sequence type deal to just being in poo in the middle of nowhere. Wait a minute.
Hashtag in poo. Awkward.
Hashtag enough said.
Hashtag blessed. Hashtag gratitude.
We bought a book that was about, it was like, called something like How to Be a Teenager. It was just a fun, but possibly quite elucidating book for all the family. For, you know, for us as parents and the kids as teenagers to laugh about it. And it was so rubbish and so patronising.
Right.
We sent it back. It was a really funny moment last week when I just bought this album my dad used to have on vinyl. And Peter Skellen album. And he was much cooler than that. We just liked this particular album.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and my daughter was reading it, dripping with disapproval excerpts from this book. So I was playing this song and saying, oh, listen to this, it's so wonderful. It reminds me. And she was going, oh, listen to this. And it was like, take care of yourself. Yeah. Be good to your friends. Stay happy.
Yeah.
Hashtag enough said.
Yeah, hashtag enough said. Is there anything else needed to be said?
What we didn't realise when we bought that book is that the really cathartic thing would be to set it on fire.
Yeah. It's funny that sort of two-day detox thing, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
That you do before races, that kind of drink water and kind of eat more veg than all in the belief that you could...
The baby in the sandpit there who just saw us just stopped everything. Yeah. It's kind of bobbing and playing and just saw
why wouldn't
us in our headsets and was like, eyes that said, what the heck
is going on?
Sorry, the two-day detox.
The podcast.
No, actually, hold that thought even longer.
Yeah, how old are you?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Well, I mean, a little bit yesterday when I was just hungover through my own idiocy and the drink and the eating loads of stuff, just that inescapable physical law with running that you get out what you put in thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And just the attempt that you resist that is kind of, you just, that's that self-sabotage thing, that kind of, it's just so simple, isn't
yes,
it? The relation
right.
to how you get on in running training and what you put into this tube that we call our body.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
that's
just
right.
simple equation.
Yeah, and it's so simple and so tiresome because it's unforgiving.
Yeah, you're always trying to dodge it. It's like... Oh, I'll have some drinks tonight, but tomorrow won't be so bad. And then it is. And you've just, it's so simple, isn't it?
But also, it's worth noting in recent weeks, I mean, yeah, certainly we're sounding like the borderline addicts we are in the last couple of weeks of this, in these episodes. But the other thing I noticed ahead of this run is the last 2-3 weeks, I've been getting enough sleep.
Right.
It just makes all the difference.
That makes a huge difference. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes.
Going to bed
at a decent time.
At about midnight.
Yeah.
And waking up naturally, like just before the alarm at about 8.
Yeah. It's huge.
That's over now. The kids come back to school and go back to work.
Mate, it's a huge... Well, I was in Devon with a mate for a few days.
Yeah.
And he's of that kind of... He goes to bed about 10 and he's up at 6:30 sort of thing.
What's that all about?
Well, it's just a different lifestyle, isn't
it? Yeah, I can't begin.
But I'd love to do it, but we just can't do that.
No.
But it's more the kind of, mentally and physically, you know that booze doesn't help this machine with which we run. But it's more the mental accumulation of stress, isn't it, that you drink booze to kind of disperse or deal with in a way, don't
That's
you?
That's right.
It builds up every few days. It's a weird one, and it's something that...
Yeah.
We joke about it, and I don't think we are problem drinkers, but I do drink a bit more than I want to.
Yeah, it's a conversation, isn't it? We have a dialogue with it. I mean, it's part of it for me has always been with things like that technically bad for you is recognizing what's good about them.
Yes.
And where necessary and when possible, accepting that and put it to one side, you know.
Yeah.
That's exactly what my wife said. And of course, she's, you know, she is not in any way a hard taskmaster, but if I'm trying to do the right thing, she'll help me.
Yeah.
You know, and she sees all. She sees all.
She sees all.
And she said, I said to, you know, a few listeners have been getting in touch and saying, you said no lager in September.
Yeah.
Which is true. I did.
Yeah.
And when I had the first, the other night.
Yeah.
You know, my wife was like, I said, I'll just have this one because it really feels like it today. And then next day I had another one. She was like, I do fancy it. I really kind of need it. And she said, yeah, and your dad just died.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, but, absolutely.
And I do, I totally, we totally associate the bereavement with a thirst.
Yes,
and
we do.
Of course, there's you're stocking up problems because it is a depressive.
Yeah.
But in that moment, in that evening moment, that kind of, you know, to just numb it a little bit. I mean, it's just medicine, isn't it?
It makes total sense.
I think most medicines got side effects.
Yes.
And in this case, miserable warnings, poor running performance, and possible addiction.
Yeah. But for me, it's funny how we just what qualifies as an excuse for a drink.
Oh, like
anything remotely stressful administratively, you know, means you have to have a drink the next day. Anything at all happens with a kid, you know.
Yeah,
it's almost like going to the shop to do the weekly shop requires a drink after it.
Yeah, you know, reward syndrome is very bad, isn't
it? It's Thursday.
You add it to the time of day.
Yeah,
I do find myself, you know, you get to kind of early afternoon and think, well, maybe.
We've just chopped an onion. I need a drink, you know. Oh, look at the little.
Hey, sorry, thanks. I do think that I really thought that being the bereavement thing might come with a bunch of, you know, real sadness, you know, lots of tears and long walks. And actually, it's been more a combination of a real thirst as disgust.
Yeah.
A lot of very bad temper, really enjoying falling out with various bad drivers,
obstructive.
Bad customer service.
Right.
And also, no one wants to hear too much about this, but, you know, I've been pretty lusty.
Right.
And I've got to tell you, I didn't think bereavement would make me feel this much like a pirate.
It's quite nice.
It's like, I take this world on.
Lust for life.
Fletch it up for me.
Yeah.
Lust for life, that's right. Yeah, I wanted to sprint through Edinburgh, do some shoplifting.
Yeah, yeah.
Take some smack.
Well, it's linked in with the anger as well, isn't it? The rage and the mortality. And there's a lot going on, isn't there?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But luckily...
You're right, it's good to go easy on yourself, you know. Sorry, were you going to say, but luckily...
Well, it's lucky that when you look back out to the wider world, everything is so cheerful and upbeat at the moment.
Yeah,
that's ideal. And genuinely, I feel, in a way, it's slightly better for me at the moment, because instead of being sad and depressed about that, I just think, oh, come on!
Yeah.
I've got enough to deal with. Sort it out!
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's really funny when little things happen near me. There's a kind of Hulk factor, you know?
Yeah.
If someone, if I go with my family to a cafe and they get my order wrong, you feel like they're going to quickly nip away from the table, pull the waiting staff to one side and say,
so you don't understand.
You really need to, this is not the day to do this.
Yes, yeah.
He's going to take this place down. He'll burn this place down.
Yeah.
Of course I don't. I really don't. I don't boycott the whole thing. Biff off.
But it's good to... I actually wrote about it in my article this week. About rage and feeling angry and running, and it came about because I've been having a few sort of family rounds.
Yeah.
And that thing of going for, I don't know whether we talked about last week, but writing emails and not sending them.
Yeah.
And spending most of the run.
We did talk a little bit about that last time we were out.
A very reasoned email, and thank goodness you don't send them.
No, that's
right. And running being part of that process of getting you through that.
That's
you know,
right.
That
that's
sort
right.
of initial rage thing. You know.
And
it's a safe outlet for rage as well.
Yeah, and I've been the other way as well. I've sent that email in the past and felt like I'd worded it very carefully.
Yeah.
And warned him, but I've never been forgiven.
Yeah,
because... So, you know, you do
really totally.
Have to watch that.
Absolutely.
Conflict is such a dangerous little thing to get
yes.
in on.
Yes, yeah. It doesn't matter how well-worded email is, that almost makes it worse.
No, that's right. If the person isn't ready to hear it from you, yeah, then they're not going to read it that closely. I'm on the wrong side of this.
You're definitely on
the wrong side. This is
going to go. You can run through this. I've run through this a couple of times. It's an obstacle that you can get through.
Deal. Yeah. Oh, that reminds you though.
Yeah.
I remember running up. I had such a nice message from our friend Tony Audenshaw.
All right.
God, he's a good guy, isn't he?
Of course.
Yeah.
He's one of the good guys.
Absolutely. Because it's a shame you couldn't come on that run we did with him.
The revisionist nature of running commentary written out.
We've already got Sooty on it.
Pixelated in pictures.
Get Steve to go back and get Trotsky on it.
Yeah.
Off it, on it, off it. Oh. So I'm having real trouble with my headphone wire this last couple of runs.
Go on, man.
Which after, 3 years, you think it would have settled down. What's going on?
Has it been?
I just got my thumb in it, but I'm sure it's fine.
Are we coming up on 3 years already?
Let's have a look. I think so, yeah. I'm just going to see if I broke that. I don't think I did. Whew. Still in. Still going up.
Still functional. All systems are go.
All lights are green. All systems are go.
Systems are go.
So, how are you going to get the best out of yourself for this 5K tomorrow?
Well,
you're going to carry on not drinking today.
I've got my one day detox today.
Yeah.
Not eating so much. Try to get a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
Just try and really warm up properly.
Yeah.
Gentle jogging and stretching just so I can get the most out of every stride length.
Yep.
Try and resist the urge to set off too fast. And just get my head around the fact that there's just going to be a lot of pain. And just get my head around to accepting it, not fighting it.
And will you be
pushing into it? And I'll be near the bottom of the field.
Will you be running on your balls?
I'll be running on the balls of my feet.
Who was saying that the other day? Of course you should run on the balls of your feet. That was the classic. That was like that. Obviously they were right, but it was like, just try running barefoot and then you'll see. It's like, yeah, but
yeah,
I don't run barefoot.
No, we don't. But he's right. I mean, I find I do naturally run on the balls of my feet.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I always did or what. I don't know.
Will you change to it?
Yeah, it's... But I'll be trying to fix my eye on the vest of the run in front of me and stay with it as long as possible.
Yeah,
It'll be an evening of attritional warfare against myself.
Yeah. That competition is a funny one, isn't it? Because sometimes trying to hold someone there is so useful. And other times, that knowledge that they're getting away from you can really break your spirit.
It's an extremely disheartening feeling when people just pull away from you. Just gradually, and you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, there's something about the basic nature of life. I think we're much more responsive in the moment in terms of surprise.
Yeah.
Than planning it, than long form.
Right.
So if you're running along next to someone, it's a bit like the frog in the water that's gradually boiling.
Yeah.
You run along behind someone, and they're gradually getting away from you. You feel completely powerless and there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
And yet something can happen, like the 140 guy catching me up.
Yeah. And it shakes
you. And you're
like,
I'll stop that.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And suddenly you find a gear
that
was totally unavailable to you 3 seconds earlier.
Yeah.
I can run a mile in 10 minutes.
Yes, yeah.
Says the guy who'd literally nearly gone home off the New York Marathon.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I can do that.
Yeah, it's kind of I find if I'm... Because when you're on the track, it's so much more exposed.
Yep.
The last guy. Everyone can see you.
Yeah, yeah.
You're in everyone's vision. You're the last guy. Look at that guy. So I find if I can...
I think in terms of positive visualisation, I think you should maybe move away.
I think I need to reframe this. But if you're in the middle of the pack, I can often hold that. But it's when you end up at the back.
Yeah.
Even if you try to hang on, it can just feel like a kind of... a pretty hopeless position, so I'll be trying to lodge somewhere amidst the other runners and hopefully they can carry me to a time of respectability, which will be anything under 20 minutes.
Yes. You say that like that's not much, but that is much.
Oh, no, and it will be a hard run. I mean, I got down to about 19:40 a few months ago, but I've had the hernia since.
Yep.
And no real speed work, but I have done a lot of running.
Yeah.
So we'll see where we end up.
Well, I think even though we were quite different, you know, we haven't seen that much each other, haven't running that much together. I think there's a, it's a, in the coming weeks we should examine this, that what do you get when you've got, how does it feel when you've got mileage but not pace?
Yeah.
You know, we've both just been putting in the miles. We haven't stopped running. But we have kind of stopped training a bit.
Yes.
And I think it puts it in, the, if you get a bit of distance on it, I think it puts us in a strong position.
It does, yeah. If I can start going on a...
Oh, that's a J. Did you hear it?
Yeah. I can start going on a Tuesday again, so the club sessions, I will quickly... You feel the difference quite quickly.
Yeah, same thing. I want to just get to as many park runs as possible.
So you're up there, you're playing what, Laughter House this weekend?
Hot Water.
All right.
This Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
And I'll run to... I was like, I don't know where I'm staying in relation to Crosby. It's like, it doesn't matter.
Right.
I'll get up early enough and I'll run there. And that'll be that.
Yeah.
And then... and that'll be my long run for this weekend.
Right.
I'm hoping to... If I'm not too broken after this week, to do... Get up to about 16.
Yeah.
And then a week after that...
Do a long...
Do 20.
Yeah.
And try and be well rested for it and try and do 20...
Right.
...with a little bit of pace.
Right.
Not what I would do at the marathon.
No.
Just... faster than this, you know, just
8.5 minute
miles, and just trying to hold it
yeah
on my, without any on the imaginary towpath of life, you know, without the run around me. And and then I'm 4 weeks out, so, and I've already brought back the exercises and the planking and stuff. It makes all the difference.
Yeah.
Plank, every single plank is a psychological long, you know, particularly if you're going for time, obviously, is a psychological training for a long run.
Yeah.
Every one of them. I find them much more useful in that way than the actual physicality of the planking. Although, of course, that becomes a side order because it's really good for your core and that. And if you do it for a long time,
yeah,
you know you've done it. But really, it's just the psychology of staying down there for another minute when you're beaten, you know? Because that's how to finish.
It's training that bullishness, isn't it?
Yeah.
That you're going to need.
Okay, that's enough of that.
Yeah, that's enough, yeah. We raised our pace as a youngster. Gazelle-like.
He overtook us. Stroke
past us with hugely long strides.
We went after him.
We went after him. He didn't notice, and now we're really tired.
Yeah, I'm really at my house.
Yeah. Oh.
But this week, it's Tuesday, and I didn't do any stretching or exercising yesterday. But this week, I'm back on the, what did I used to call it? 5x4x2.
Right.
So I'll do 5 4-minute planks Tuesday through Saturday. And I will also run a park run on Saturday.
And that's one on the beach?
Yeah.
That you like, yeah.
Well, it looks good. I've never done it.
Right, okay.
And if I do it, actually, if I do it in 4 minute kilometres, I'll be very surprised.
Yeah.
But I'll try.
Something to go for, isn't it? Yeah.
Exactly. And then one day in the coming weeks, I'm going to do my 50th park run.
Wow.
So... I have to have a look at the diary and work out when that's going to be.
Yeah.
And make a bit of a thing of it.
Well, today I was going to chat about this if you're around the next few weeks. I was going to reach out to Joe Pavey, see whether I can get along with her.
Absolutely.
So I've got a number for her, so I'll do that. I just wanted to check that you're around.
Yeah, I think now that as the all the children go back to their various academies... And life goes back to some semblance of normality.
Everyone's back from summer now, aren't they?
We do have to also train for these races, but I think we should definitely tee up another interview season.
Yeah.
Yeah. With Pavey at its heart.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Whenever I see old Mo, I get a little twinkle. Old McIntyre's got his number, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, give it feels a bit direct, but you never know.
I saw Mo on... you know Mo won the Great North Run?
Yes.
He's so great, isn't he? Because he doesn't button it down, you know? He's out there. He's such an open, sharing runner.
Yes.
And also the woman who won the Great North Run, she got the world record for a half marathon anyway.
Yeah.
It was certainly some kind of record.
Right.
He did it in just under an hour.
Yes, yeah.
And she did it in 1 hour and 4.
Yeah.
But it was just great. Incredible.
That's great.
What I like about Mo is that he's not that mellow, is he?
No, no.
He's just an out there competitor. So he's sometimes he can be a bit moody or
definitely
a bit weird
more of a Murray than a Henman.
Yeah, definitely can be a bit moody at press conferences and a bit. He's trying to be as good as he possibly can be, and that's who he is. I like him. I really like.
Yeah,
him.
Absolutely. And also, he's really good.
Oh, yeah.
He just keeps turning up and winning, and I don't know, trying different things. It just feels like he's kind of living it live in the best way.
He's been judged quite harshly at the moment for being not one of the best marathon runners to have ever lived. Seems a bit harsh when you look at his track record, when he undoubtedly is one of the best track runners to have ever performed. But he's not quite...
Hasn't quite got that
He's not
distance.
Quite upper tier at marathon.
Yeah, and
it's
he is.
Brutal
he's only in the top.
Yeah,
however,
yeah,
you know.
He's a great marathon runner, but he's not beating Kipchoge.
Yeah.
And who is?
No.
You know, or Turgo, whatever. There's a ramp of guys a bit faster than him, but my goodness.
Yeah.
It's the toughest event. He's also getting a bit older as well, so he's kind of... He's caught between trying out a new event, but also he's getting a bit older to come back to the track again. So he's a
I
little
think what
bit
he needs is a... I can see him... If he could find the right kind of slow 10K-ish run to run with a certain... You know, some quite inspiring yet amateur,
yes,
older runners.
Yes, yeah.
Male runners.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
With a sense of humour about this whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Then maybe he could find something.
Yeah, give him some inspiration.
Yeah, give him some red wine.
We need to get him down for the Crouch End 10K. He'd storm it, wouldn't he?
Eat your donut, Mo.
Would he win, though? It is a tricky course. Would he get caught out?
I can see the
deceptive twists and turns.
I think he'd beat us, but I think he'd be top three.
Yeah, yeah.
Crowd tank.
A late entrance.
To get in the interview, we have to just live podcast the Crowd Tent 10K with Mo. Sorry, Paula, we're doing it with Mo.
Yeah.
Come on, guys, I've been waiting for this.
A very confused Mo Farah. Why am I here?
Saw Paula Radcliffe in the distance at the Great North Run.
Was she there? What was she running?
I don't think she was running.
Right.
I don't know, she didn't tell me.
Right.
Because she doesn't know who I am, all right?
In.
I was right near her once.
Yeah.
And that's
Paula!
Paula!
So listen, we'll do some PBs next week.
Yeah, I've got some more good ones coming.
Yes, which is great. Keep them coming in.
There was a couple who did Great North Run and both got a PB, but of course, reading between the lines, that means at some point he had to go, okay, see you later, darling.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this is great, but bye. That was really good fun.
Lovely.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.